Good morning. We are reading this morning from Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation."
Today's story begins with an old man. And this old man has lived and seen many things. He's been a rich man. He's been a poor man. He's been loved and he has been chased by the authorities. Here in this point in his life, he's an old man, living far from where he was born. This man's name is Moses. He's a shepherd working for his father-in-law, which, if you know, you know, that's not the greatest situation to be in. And he's out watching the sheep, and he's near a mountain. On this mountain, he sees a light glowing. So he goes to investigate. He lives in a time before electricity. Is there a fire? Has a lightning struck a bush? What's happened? Why is there light coming from this alcove on this mountainside? And he climbs and he sees something impossible. He sees this bush that's on fire. But it's not consumed. The fire is not eating it alive. He says the bush burned but was not consumed. What he saw that day, he saw the glory of God, the visible light of God's presence, and it spoke to him. And he drew near to it. In Exodus 3 and 4, you read of this conversation between this old man and the very voice of God. God says to Moses in verse 13, "Behold," or so Moses says to God, "Behold, I'm about to come to the sons of Israel. I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.'" So God has called Moses to a mission. God tells Moses, this old man, this voice from the burning bush says, "I've seen the suffering of my children." You see, Moses in the wilderness, but over in the Nile River is the kingdom of Egypt, and Egypt has built its fortune on the backs of slaves. And the slaves they built their fortunes upon were the Jewish peoples, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And these people have been enslaved by Egypt for 400 years. America turns 250 next year, right, babe? So America, we're 250 years old. We're 150 years from how long the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. That's a long time. That is 20, 30 generations of people have lived and died in bondage. And this voice says, I've heard the cries of my people. And you think the next line would be, "I'm going to deliver them." This God does not say, "I'm coming down to deal with it." God says, "I've heard their voice, and I'm sending you Moses." Often the God of heaven fulfills his will in the world by sending feeble, fallible people like us. He chooses us with our limited giftings, our stuttering tongues, and says, I'm sending you to make this wrong thing right. And Moses has questions, as any of us would. You want me to go over there and talk to Pharaoh? Like, I'm 75 years old, man. The last time I was in Egypt, they tried to arrest me and kill me. So Moses asks the question, he goes, okay, listen. If I go there and tell all the Jewish people that the God of their fathers has sent me to them, they're going to ask me the question, well, what is this God's name? What is God's name? And what am I going to tell them? That's our first question today. What is God's name? Now, Moses wants to know this name for a reason. In America, here in the West, we use the word God with a big G. We believe in God, you know, big G, big name. In this time that Moses lived in, people didn't believe in one God. They believed in many gods, little g's, woo, lots of them. And every single people group had their god or gods they were loyal to. The Egyptians have a whole bunch of gods. Maybe you've seen some of their statues and art. Anubis, the cool dog-looking one, like the god of death. Oh, there's all kinds. There's an owl god in Egypt. There's the frog god over the Nile. All kinds of gods in Egypt. In the wilderness where Moses lives, the Philistines have their own god. The Canaanites have their own god. There's Baal and Dagon and Molech. Gods everywhere. And in that world, whatever tribe you belong to, you were loyal to a certain deity. Whenever there was a war, it was like, my god versus your god, right? My dad can beat up your dad. You know what I'm saying? In this world pre-enlightenment, everyone assumed there was something more. And that something more, that God up there, if we were cool to him, maybe this God would be cool to us, and you were loyal to this God. So Moses says, okay, you're sending me to the Jews. What is your name? In our moment in history right now, it's a question the whole world is asking. What is God's name? Back in 2018, there was this societal trend called the rise of the nuns. I don't mean the rise of like Whoopi Goldberg, okay? I don't mean like a nun like in a hat. Nun, N-O-N-E-S. You see, every few years during the census and beyond, pollsters ask people, what is your religious affiliation? Are you Baptist or Methodist or Mormon or Catholic or Buddhist or atheist? What are you? What do you believe? At the very bottom of the list is none. I have no affiliation. Well, in 2018, 32% of American adults checked none. A third of America said, I have no affiliation to any God. And people went nuts with this data. People said, it's the end of religion in America as we know it. In a generation, will all the churches close? Will everyone become secular humanists and turn away from any religious identity at all? There's a lot of talk in those days. And then COVID happens. After COVID kind of comes to its conclusion, the pollsters go back out to ask what's happening. Everyone assumed the trajectory of America was there should be more people saying, I have no faith in nothing. That's not what they found. Over the last few years, the craziest thing is being seen. People's hunger and spiritual things is rising. And it's rising strongly, especially among Generation Z and younger millennials. Gen Z, get it. You're going to save us all, dude. Someone's got to do it. But seriously, like, it's wild the numbers we're seeing. People are open to spiritual conversations. They're open to talking about the big questions. Why am I here? Where do we come from? What is real? What is false? Here's a crazy piece of data for you. 70% of people polled in this poll said if someone invited me to church, I would probably go. Open. There's like the, but it's just crazy. No one invites anybody, so no one goes. There's a hunger out there. People wonder, is there a God? And people are open to talking about these things, searching for these things. But there's a catch. People are asking the question, we're asking, what is God's name? Who is God? People even saying this could be a third great awakening in American history. If you study American history, during the second great awakening, there was spiritual hunger, true. People did turn to Jesus, but you had also born in that season a bunch of cults and a bunch of crazy people who drew the spiritually hungry to themselves. People are walking around looking for something, and they can be fooled by good talkers. In this moment, people are asking, is there a God? Is there something more than this? And they're looking to all kinds of answers. Some come to Jesus, some come to Christ Church, but people, listen, you go across the sea to Europe, there's a rise in worship of the old pagan deities. People are turning back to Thor and Zeus, not ironically, like sincerely. Instead of a cross, they wear a hammer. Praise Thor, they say. Here in America, people look to all kinds of things to find spiritual answers. Two generations ago, psychics and tarot cards were kind of like this weird thing in a corner. Now, it's out in the open and seen as a valid way to find truth. It's part of the searching process. In America, we see a rise of paganism within our own borders. People are like, looking for something. Will this work? Will this work? Will that work? People are hungry and asking the question, what is God's name? And they're looking all over to find the answer. Moses asks, what is God's name? And God answers. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is a really odd answer. Some of the deities in the ancient Near East have cool names. Like, names you tattoo on your arm, like Anubis. Like, it's a cool-sounding name. It sounds like tough, strong, able. And names have meanings. Like, my name's Ernesto. In English, there's a word named Ernest. You heard the word Ernest? The importance of being Ernest. Good play. The best play. No, but just kidding. It's not. Best name, though. But Ernest, the name means sincere. So I get named Ernesto, and they hope maybe this kid will be a sincere kid. I remember the first time I saw a parent name their kid Maverick. That's a heavy name to put on a kid. This kid's going to be a leader of men. Not follow the crowd, but lead everybody their own way. Names have meanings. And a lot of the deities of old, their names mean something. When they ask God for his name, when they ask this God of Israel, what is your name? He answers, the most unnamed-like name of all time. I am that I am. I'll tell you why this name is so weird. It's bad grammar. I've studied language. In college, I studied linguistics. In every language, you have verbs and nouns. Some of you are like, oh no, English. Listen, stay with me. A verb's an action word. Run. You know, watch Timmy run, see Timmy jump, like action words. Timmy runs, Timmy jumps, Timmy sings. These are verbs, and a noun is like, you know, drum, Bible. Like a noun is a thing. There's a weird verb, though, that every language has to have. Because I can say I am, I ate something. That's a verb, I eat. But how do I describe the feeling of wanting to eat? There's a verb called to be. And every language has it. In every language, it's one of the hardest verbs to learn. In Spanish, it's goofy. Like learning yo soy, it's like, yo soy, what is that? Like in English, it's like I am to be. So if I want to eat, I would say I am hungry. It's describing my current existence. At this moment in time, I desire to be eating. I am hungry. Or maybe I am tired. Maybe I didn't sleep well last night. So my current existential mood is I am tired. I'm sleepy. So whenever you say I am, it always waits for its modifier. What am I? Am I tired, hungry, sleepy, angry? Because this word to be is always describing my current circumstantial existence. What's going on? Because who I am changes on the day, doesn't it? I may be hungry now after lunch. I'm going to be full. You know what I'm saying? I change over time. But God says, he didn't say, I am hungry. He said, I am strong. You're like, what a name. Our God is I am strong. But he says, I am that I am. If he said, I am what I am, that's way easier. Popeye taught us that, right? I am what I am. That's all that I am. I am what I am is like saying what you see is what you get. That's easy. An apple is an apple. But I am that I am. It's almost like God is, this God is saying, my name is, my existence, God's existence is not dependent on his circumstances. He is not tired or hungry or sleepy or angry. His existence is not dependent on his evening or his afternoon or his month. His existence is seated within himself. He's like, I am, and what I am is independent of all external stimuli. What I am is consistent and constant and other. I am that I am. I am the self-existent one. I don't need nothing. I exist outside of everything else, and I cannot be changed by how the day goes. We're not like this. We change with the weather, don't we? That arthritis is acting up. Oh, it's cold. This God is like, I don't change. What I am is constant. I am self-existent. I am me. I am that I am. I'm not like you. I'm not like these other gods that people worship. I am something else entirely. I am that I am. In Spanish, it's yo soy el que soy. In Telugu, I can't say it because it's too many vowels. I try. I asked my Indian friends, what do they say in Exodus 3? And it's like, but it means, it's like, I said, is this weird for you guys? Oh, it's really weird for us. In every language, this is very hard to translate. I am that I am. God's name is not just a name. God's name is like a confession. He's like telling you, this is who I am. I am the great one, untouchable by the world I have made. This is the God that has called to Moses. He says, say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. His little nickname, I am. I am who I am. Call me I am for short. God furthermore says to Moses, thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh. Stop right there. This name, I am that I am. In the Hebrew Bible, in the scrolls kept for thousands of years, over time they started writing this name using four letters. YHWH. No vowels on the paper. The name was seen as so holy, the Jews were afraid to speak it. So we actually don't know how to pronounce it. We're guessing. We've lost the vowels to history. But we think it's pronounced Yahweh. This is his name. In most English Bibles, you will see sometimes in the Old Testament, you will see the words L-O-R-D in all large caps, all capitalized. When you see L-O-R-D, that means the name, Yahweh. We read a Bible here at Flint City Church called the Legacy Standard. Legacy Standard actually translates the word Yahweh, and I love it. He says, he says, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Very interesting, he says this. I am that I am. I am Yahweh. I knew your great-grandparents, and he did. He's telling the people, when you go to see Israel, tell them, I knew their parents, because Abraham knew this name. Abraham called God Yahweh. Abraham knew the covenant name of God, and so did Isaac, and so did Jacob, but the name gets lost. Jacob's kids never say the name. As you read Genesis, you see the name go away. Those 400 years in slavery, the people lose the name. They don't know his name. They don't know how to call out to him. You ever been somewhere and you see someone you used to know and you want to call out but you can't remember? Is their name Corey or Cody? Ah! Is it Bob or Bill? I can't remember. You can't just yell it out because you're afraid of saying the wrong name. You can't call upon them because you don't know the name. The Jews over this 400 years, they lose the name. The name that was once known in our lives, we lose sometimes what we know about God. We forget it over time. He goes, listen, I knew your forefathers. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name from generation to generation. Not only is this my name back then, it will be my name forever. We still have this name. We can still speak the name. When I pray, I often use the word Father when I pray because I have a lot of daddy issues. When I pray often, I'm praying for God to scoop me up and hold me because I need to be held. But sometimes I need God to be strong and able. Sometimes I need to pray and know the God I'm praying to is bigger than my insurance company, is bigger than my circumstances. Sometimes when I'm praying and I'm in that moment of great need, I'll pray, oh, great Yahweh, hear my cry. You are the one. You exist. You're independent of me. You don't need me, but I need you. You don't need sleep or food. I need you, oh, great I am, to save me here. We can pray this name, Yahweh. Now, a crazy thing happens. This is the name of God. Time goes on. The Jews stop saying the name. They think it's too holy to speak out loud. It's too holy to speak. The Jews begin saying the name Jehovah instead of Yahweh because they don't want to get in trouble for saying the holy name. So we fast forward 3,000 years. Jesus is walking around. And Jesus gets in a fight with some people. Him and some leaders of Israel are debating. He says to them this. He goes, hey, verse 56, John 8:56, they say to Jesus. Or Jesus says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. He goes, man, your father Abraham was pumped when I was born. He's glad I'm here. And they say, you are not yet 50 years old. You claim to have seen Abraham. You're a crazy person. If I came up here and said, you know, me and Apostle Paul were hanging out a few years ago and it was awesome, we'd go, whoa, 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 Nesto, you're not even 50. And I'm not. You'd go, what do you mean, you and the Apostle Paul? That's crazy talk. You, me, and Einstein were having coffee the other day. Like, you know, that's a crazy thing to say out loud. You say, Jesus, what are you talking about? You know Abraham. You don't know Abraham. Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And people freak. They picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Christ does the unthinkable here. He claims the covenant name of God for himself. You want to know who I am? I am that I am. They're like, blasphemy! See, Jesus, I think in our modern moment, we do good at humanizing Jesus. There's this new show out called The Chosen. Pretty sweet show. There's a scene in the show people got mad at, but I thought it was a really cool scene. It showed Jesus preparing, like practicing the Sermon on the Mount. I'm like, oh, that's really cool, showing him just getting ready to speak. It humanized Jesus Christ. There are scenes in the show where he'll come back to the camp of him and the apostles, and he's been healing all day. He'll come back, and he's so exhausted. And I'm like, I feel you, Jesus. I think we do good with the humanity of Christ, but I think we forgot that Jesus claims to be more than a man. More than a teacher, more than a healer. He claims to be Yahweh, God Almighty. I am that I am. The cloud by day, the fire by night, that was me. Before I was born, I was here. I was there in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I was there in the den with Daniel, and I kept those lions' mouths shut. Jesus is like, I am. I am the God who spoke to Abraham all those years ago. Jesus Christ is holy God and holy man. And here's what I want to say to us in this moment. The world is asking us, what is God's name? How will we answer? I think the church of Jesus has been given some pretty poor answers lately. I have friends of mine, they share Facebook posts, and these people are not evil people. They're just misguided people, and they're preaching the wrong gospel. They'll say on their Facebook page, they'll post like a square full of text. It'll say, politics, 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 Jesus. I had someone say to me once, invite him to church, and their question to me was very revealing. They said, what kind of Christian are you? Are you one of those Trump Christians or are you a Jesus Christian? Because in this moment in history, bless us who our God is, we have mingled Christ with other things. We say Jesus and my political party. Jesus and my denomination. Jesus and my church or my preacher. Listen. The and? Forget that piece. If someone asks you, is there a God? Don't say, come to Flint City Church. Our goal is not to fill these seats. They're already too full. It's not our goal. Our goal is to speak the name of Jesus. You want to know what God's name is? His name is Jesus. As the world searches for an answer, we got to point people not to a political issue, a political party, a political candidate, not to our Methodism or a baptism or a Baptist. We don't point to any of those if we point people to Jesus. We do not exist to build a church or a denomination. We exist to tell people that Jesus Christ is the God who can bring the answers that people so desperately need. Jesus is the great I am. That means you can worship him. You can pray to him. You can. You pray to Jesus. Sometimes I pray to Jesus when I need understanding. I'm having a bad time of thinking, I'm like, Jesus, you remember what it was like when you felt alone? I feel alone right now. I pray to Jesus, I know Jesus understands what I'm going through. He has lived where I live. He has felt as I feel. You can pray to Jesus because he is God. You can worship Jesus, and you should. We have some great songs worshiping Jesus, great songs. Sing them loud. People are asking the question, what is God's name? There are many answers given. We must point people to the best answer, the true answer, the real answer. As the world asks, what is God's name? Our answer has to be, his name is Jesus. He's the one who can save. I can't save nobody. You can't save nobody. We can't save nobody. But guess what? The Jesus who saved us can save them. The Jesus who saved us can save them. The Jesus who did a miracle in our lives can do a miracle in their lives. If you speak anything louder than Christ, you better get that other thing out of your mouth. God's name is Jesus. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the day, for your word that is true. Help us remember who you are, O Lord. We look to so many places to find hope. As the song used to say, looking for love in all the wrong places. Lord, we do it. Look to success, to pleasure, to romance, to friendship. Let us look to you, Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, the great I am. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, but who was there at the beginning of all creation. Let us worship and remember the great I am. This is your covenant name. Let us speak it, hold on to it, and be blessed by it. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.